You're listening to the BBS Radio Network, and this is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Skycloud, healer, author, shaman, paranormal investigator. Stay tuned for Between Two Worlds. You're listening to the BBS Radio Network, and this is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Skycloud, healer, author, shaman, paranormal investigator. Stay tuned for Between Two Worlds.
Welcome, everyone. This is Derek White Skycloud, your favorite downtown psychic medium and paranormal investigator. This week, we've got somebody coming on special, a good friend of mine that I've known for a few years now. We've worked in the field together, not on walking together, but we've actually spoke together on telephone as well as radio together, shared each other's information for each other. This fellow has done Ghosted Talk Radio with me, where we're doing some futuristic predictions for another radio show. We were working under also a guest as on APSR Radio. We've been continuing guests, I guess, for the last 2-3 years. And I wanted to get Scott in my show, and I just said, Scott, you want to come on? And here he is. Anyways, this is Scott Christensen, folks. Welcome, Scott.
Hi there.
I'm just hurrying myself up to get you on here.
Oh, well, right on. Happy to be here.
Yeah.
We've been meaning to make this happen for quite some time, and it's good to see that the day is here.
Yeah, finally. Okay. Anyways, folks, I'll let you know that Scott has also works as a psychic medium. He also works as a paranormal investigator. He's internationally known. He's a healer, author. He's written a book called Bridging the Gap. And The Inheritance, which was basically, that was the book that you were writing at the time, and you were asking me to do a little jot down there. I didn't get a chance to do it. So in 2007, Scott was honored with the United States Congressional Leadership Award and appointed chairman of the Business Advisory Council. He's also been an ordained minister and holds a doctorate of metaphysics and divinity degree. In 2007, Scott founded the Alternative Therapies, a holistic wellness clinic that is achieving miraculous results. His clients include the FBI, numerous members of law enforcement, medical, metaphysical, and the business communities, as well as celebrities, politicians, the clergy, a vast variety of citizens of numerous countries. Scott makes more than 100 to 200 media appearances annually through public events, radio, television, and in print. He has earned the designation of the ethical psychic. Guys, ethical psychic by those who have worked with him. He invites you to visit his website. Now, Scott's got a website called connectwithscott.com. That's www.connectwithscott.com. And for more information, now, Scott remains in awe of life-changing information and healing energy that comes through him, and he humbly welcomes the opportunity to be in service. Now, tonight, folks, we're going to be doing open lines, because Scott said he'll do some readings for people. So here's the toll-free numbers. The U.S. is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. In Canada, that's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And international callers is 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Open lines are there for folks, you guys, to get the chance to talk to Scott. If you have any questions you want to ask him, he will talk about guides. He'll talk about you in general. He does make a very, very good prediction of anything you want to ask about. He's good. I know Scott, his work. He's phenomenal. Scott's a good friend, and so I trust this guy.
Well, thanks, man.
Yeah, I trust him well. Yeah. You know, I'll tell you what, Scott, there are not that many psychics, mediums that I could say that are, I mean, I've known personally myself that are quite authentic. I mean, you got some people out there that try so hard to become a good psychic medium, and there are people out there that can try to pretend to be someone they're not. You ever come across those at all?
In every profession.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing to me the amount of people in literally every profession on the planet who don't want to do their job or want to do a different job. And, you know, unfortunately, and also fortunately, but whenever you're in an industry that is non-regulated,
mm-hmm.
anybody who wants to can hang a shingle and say, I'm a feng shui consultant, or I'm a psychic medium, or I'm a whatever. And there's really no credentials. There's no, you know, let's go here, get tested, get you know, rated on a scale of 1 to 100 or something so that the consumer can actually be educated on
that's,
what to expect from what different type of reader. And
that's where we got to hang out with Dr. Gary Schwartz.
You know, I've been on his list for quite some time.
Yeah.
And, you know, and the amazing thing is that there really is no criteria for folks, and a lot of folks try to use the price tag by saying, well, if you're expensive, you must be good. And I would say, don't use that as a guide. So I know people who are literally charging, and your jaw may drop at this, but $1,500 per hour for the work that we do. And level of abilities and, you know, things they've worked on, things they've worked with, not so much.
Well, you look about it, think about it. I get clients coming in from Japan, and
mm-hmm.
they'll fly all the way down from Japan, and there are psychics up there they have in Japan, and they charge $1,000, but they don't charge you by the hour. They charge you by whatever time they decide to go in, and it's less than an hour.
Uh-huh.
And, but that's their minimum rate.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, with most things, like a doctor, a lawyer, or whatever, you can say, I've got this much education or this much schooling or this many years' experience. And unfortunately, in the psychic medium end of things, there's very few ways of verifying things. So you can have someone who's 20 years old who claims to have 20 years of experience.
Yeah. Now, have you gone through any tests yourself? You've been tested by anybody besides, I mean, you know, you'll be on the waiting list from Gary Schwartz, but have you ever been tested by anyone at all?
Yeah, I got tested once by the National American University, and it was really kind of a fun thing to do. But what they were trying to gauge was the accuracy of psychics. So they, you know, got their list of whoever they did, and they called us up and brought us in, and just ran this barrage of people through us. And each person was able to ask 5 questions, let's say. And you'd give them 5 answers, and then they'd leave your room and go to a different room. And then they'd say, well, out of the 5 questions, how many did the guy get right, or how many did the lady get right? And they'd say, oh, this many or that many, and then they'd total it up at the end as a way of, you know, and it wasn't the real in-depth scientific stuff that Dr. Gary Schwartz does that I'd love to be a part of. But it was still there on the accuracy rate of things. And, you know, that was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have not been tested, I mean, not by any universities, because we don't have them here. You know, we don't have those kind of people that try and check you out. I could take that back. There is one man, oh, God, this is years back. One young man from the university asked me if I would like to be tested. I forgot about that one. When I was doing a demonstration of my work at this big, huge psychic they had, and so I said, no. That wasn't okay. Anyways, we got a caller calling in.
Hello,
who am I talking to?
This is Tammy from Georgia.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hello, fine.
Good. Hi, Tammy. This is Scott. Scott?
Hi there.
Hi, Scott. Oh, I'm getting a feedback through the headset. I had a couple of questions for you. Hold on just a second. Oh, I had to take my headset off because I was getting a feedback here. Hello?
Hello.
We can hear you.
Yes. Okay. Scott, one of the questions I wanted to ask you was there was a guy at my job that was inappropriate and said some things to me, and I was just wondering if maybe you had gotten anything, if you could get something on that, if he was an actual threat or if he was joking.
Okay. Let's take a look real quick.
Okay. If you need any other information, I can give it to you. But
No. Just your voice will suffice. I generally ask for the first name and location, but we already got that, so I'll just tune in. And the way that I work is, I think, very similar to the way that Derek works. There's no filtering, no censoring. If I get it, you get it.
Okay.
The I guess to divide it up into a pie chart, because that's how it's coming to me, what I sense is about 85% joking and about 15% actually a very poor version of flirtation.
Of what?
Flirtation.
Flirtation. Oh, okay.
It means he's interested in you.
Yeah, there's a lot of interest there on his end, and it
was
his way of kind of opening up the, you know, breaking the ice, so to speak. He tried to infuse humor with it because he thought that would make the situation less tense.
Yeah.
However,
he scared me.
His sense of humor is not necessarily vibrationally in line with your sense of humor.
Right.
And I feel like he has a very dry sense of humor. Mm. And with that, you could, because of the voice inflection mainly, and I think that you know exactly what I'm talking about here, but especially with his voice inflection, in his mind, if you can think of it like a BBC comedy out of England, it would have been hilarious.
Okay.
In Georgia, it would have been seen as a potential restraining order.
That's what it sounds like, too.
He said, you know, like a threat, like he was going to slit my throat. And I honestly believed him. So that's why I wanted to ask you about that.
No. The main part that was going on there was it started off as flirtation.
Right.
It was trying to use a joking undertone.
Mm-hmm.
When he wasn't getting the reaction he was wanting, then he started trying to use a different sort of humor that would be the exact opposite of flirting, just as a way of letting you know, I'm not flirting anymore. His words that he chose and also the tone that he used would certainly be cause for alarm for you.
Okay.
But all it was words.
Okay.
I think that if you could have taken a snapshot inside of his head at that time, what you would have seen is about the maturity level of a seventh grader.
Okay.
Trying to say something. And I think that when you can view it through that perspective, because this person, I feel, is, I'd say within the last year, out of a fairly serious relationship, and absolutely lost. Okay, I also feel like he's got some stuff that happened early on in life that really stunted his emotional growth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, you know, oftentimes as adults we use the chronology, the age of a person, to gauge where their maturity level or their level of speech comprehension, understanding, humor should be. And in most cases, it's fairly accurate, but there are the curveballs.
Mm-hmm.
But no, what I feel is that you really are absolutely 100% safe.
Good. I was just so worried. I was just thinking about it, and I didn't want to get him in trouble, really. But also, I thought that he was actually, I bought mace and something else just because I thought he was a threat. So
right, and certainly with this person, I think that making the boundaries known to him, not necessarily above his head. And it's not something that I don't think you're going to need to do very much, because I think that he's kind of like a dog with his tail between his legs right now.
Okay.
So I don't think that you're going to have to, but if he should try to approach you in the future, I think just letting, you know, here's the boundaries, man.
Right.
I'm going to tell you something too, Tammy. When I add this on, I feel this man actually feels very intimidated by you.
Do what?
He feels a little intimidated by you.
Oh.
Why he's using a little bit of that, not threat, it's more of a, you know, like, it gives him a power trip. And you're not, and you're, yet yourself, you're not going to take his crap for nothing, so you're going to actually just say, well, hey, to screw you, I'm going to take some mace, and you try to threaten me, I'll just blow it in your, right, in your face. So,
yeah.
You know.
And I disagree with Derek there, because mm-hmm. I think that he doesn't think that you view him as an alpha male,
mm-hmm.
and he was trying to assert himself so that you would.
Yeah, because I thought he was the other way. That
right.
Even like girls, so I see what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that overcompensation that Derek was alluding to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I ask you another question?
Go for it.
Oh, okay. I want to ask you about my mother. My mom okay. is really strange, and she's been very awkward lately, and she kind of said some things like I was going to hell and some really other weird stuff, so I was just wondering, how do I need to take her? My grandmother gave me some property, and my mother is jealous of that, as with anything my grandmother does for the other kids.
Mm-hmm.
And she's trying to, keep us from getting that.
Gotcha. What's Mom's first name?
Joyce.
Joyce? Okay. Boy, I don't know what the mirror is with this emotional underdevelopment, but there seems to be a little bit of a common cause here.
Yeah.
with what fuels her, as well as what fueled your, for lack of a better term, gentleman caller. I think that really to understand Mom. I don't know where you stand on past lives, but I believe that the two of you have a past life connection. I believe that in that past life connection between you and Mom, I feel like you were sisters. I feel in that lifetime, you were actually the, I feel like you were actually the younger sister. I feel like she was the oldest. And I feel like you were the only two kids. So as soon as you came around, all her attention went away. And I feel like she spent a lot of this lifetime kind of replaying that energy out.
Well, yeah, she's always treated me like she said that I was the ugliest child that she had. And just some really things growing up, she was very abusive towards me. And she's always tried to keep me from succeeding in life in certain ways. So recently, my grandmother's been giving things to the grandkids, if not she has already, and my mom's trying to say, oh, I'm going to take y'all to court and take everything, like that kind of thing.
The first thing I would suggest for you is to do some past life regression work. Give me a call or give me an email through my website, connectwithscott.com, or in my office is Mary Lee, a certified hypnotherapist, that can walk you back into that past life, because I feel like the majority of the energy that you guys need to really untangle is actually in the lifetime before this one.
Right.
So whatever you're going to try to do in this lifetime, because I feel like you've already tried to do, like, everything.
Well, I've really worked hard on to show love and to be giving and understanding to my parents, who both are very odd.
Exactly. But with this particular thing, it's like you're working up in the engine, and the problem's in the trunk.
Yeah.
You got to go back a little bit in order to get to the root of it.
Yeah. Okay.
Scott?
Yeah.
Make sure what you just said.
Make sure what I just said?
Are you sure what you just said? You said it may be a problem with the engine, but it could be just the trunk?
No. I said that she thinks that there's, in the relationship, that the problem is in the engine, so she's up working in the engine compartment, but the problem is actually back in the trunk compartment. We need to go to the
back. Basically, in Canada and the U.S., they use that phrase trunk as women's butts.
Oh. Yeah, that's not what I meant. I was making a car analogy there.
Do I have anything to fear from her, or should I just not let her bother me?
Well, the main thing that I would do is actually, again, go back in and fix that relationship and its past life origin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's as much for you as it is for her.
Yeah.
That's not only going to help to change and dramatically change, in most cases, the energy that you have in this lifetime, but also karmically, it stops you from creating any more karma in this lifetime with regard to her. What she does with it from there, she's got her own free will, so she can either embrace it or she'll just walk away from it completely. But either way, your life right now will be much more peaceful, and down the road, energetically, it kind of puts a cap on what's already been connected and created there between the two of you.
That's hard to believe because she's created such bad karma, I think, all around for everybody, including herself, and she's done some really bad things.
So, have you ever read this may be kind of an odd question, but there's a little book called The Little Angel and the Sun by James Van Prague. Have you ever read that book?
No.
Yep. Would highly recommend it. It's written as a children's book, but I've watched more adults just drop their jaw when they read the few words in the little pages. but essentially in the book, an angel is talking to God and talking about going down to earth and getting to experience love and butterflies and all these cool things. And then the angel says, well, gosh, what about pain and sorrow and this and that? How do I experience that? And this other little angel comes up to God and the angel and says, I love you enough that I'll do that role.
I love you in what?
I love you enough to fulfill that role of going to earth so that you can experience the other half that you've not experienced yet.
Oh, well, I tell you, I think I signed up for a lot of stuff this life. It's been a doozy. But thank you so much, and I know you have other callers and stuff, so I appreciate that. I think you're wonderful.
Thank you for calling, Tammy.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, these things do happen. We do get people come across our path once in a while, and sometimes they can become a little bit jealous of what we do, or even that they're trying to do a pickup, with someone trying to get their attention. And there are guys like that, or guys out there that are kind of aggressive. And then there's a little bit quiet about it, so... You know, you hear this quite often.
Well, unfortunately, yeah. But have you watched the new movie just come out called The Moses Code?
No, I haven't seen that one yet.
Great movie. And it's along the line of The Secret. I think it's kind of some of the same people and done in a similar way.
Okay.
The book and movie was produced by James Twyman, who wrote Emissaries of Light and all kinds of good books.
Yeah.
But... Basically, in the gist of the book, in the movie, it really teaches a lot about acceptance. And as we struggle against things less, we tend to experience much less of them. And it's kind of like paddling a boat upstream and seeing the same rock. And by allowing that acceptance of other people as a mirror to self, makes it where you kind of quit rowing. And your boat automatically turns itself around and heads downstream.
Oh. We've got another caller calling in. Who am I speaking to?
This is Debbie from Selah, Washington.
Hi, Debbie. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. You have a question for Scott?
I do. Say, I received a kind of like a prank letter today in the mail. It wasn't signed and there was no return address. That kind of spooked me out a little bit.
Oh, we're getting some scary ones here.
Yeah.
I know it.
Okay.
And what was the question, Debbie? I'm sorry.
Oh, I received kind of a prank letter in the mail today, and it wasn't signed, and there was no return address. And I just wanted to know if there's anything behind all that.
Gotcha. Now, let me take a look.
Okay.
Okay, my first instinctual reaction is that I feel like you know the person who sent the letter to you. I don't feel like you know them necessarily as well as they think you do, if that makes any sense.
Wow. I met some different people at a meeting.
Pardon?
I met some new people at a meeting. Maybe it was them. I don't know.
Well, let's take a look. 'Cause I never I never like to give just a little tidbit of information. I like to get as much detail as I can.
Yeah.
Okay. What it feels like to me is that, again, you know this person, you don't know them very well. I feel like they're really, on one hand, kind of feeling you out to see what your reaction will be. On the other hand, I feel like this person who wrote it, or these people that wrote it, may actually use this as a common ground between the two of you. And the way that I would see that happening is essentially them coming to you, or you bumping into each other, quote-unquote randomly, and them talking to you about that they got a very similar letter, just to see if you'll talk about it, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I really feel like the writer of the letter is going to drop their own guard to an extent and really show their cards. So I would really pay a lot of attention to the person who brings up that they got a similar one before you even bring up that you did.
Okay.
What was this meeting about, Debbie?
Well, it was about some family. I'm working for a family that is from a state that was mentioned in the letter.
Okay.
And they are Foundation family, and they are the nicest people you've ever met, and very gracious people. And
do you find that that there may be somebody that's up against you that's the opposite of graciousness within that family? Is there something to do with monies coming in that you're involved with?
I don't think so. I'm doing books for this gentleman.
Unless there's someone actually doing, feels that, unless there's someone in that area, possibly could be feeling a little bit intimidated.
Yeah, I just can't. There's only one person that I met that kind of asked me to do something kind of illegal, and I told him no, that I wasn't going to take party of that.
Okay. Well, I keep an eye on that one.
So it could be that person.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, I think that the person who wrote the letter is going to tell you that they received one, too.
Yeah.
So when that person approaches you with that information,
mm-hmm.
you just have the little warning bells in the back of your head go off, and you'll be looking eye-to-eye with the author of that letter.
Okay. They could have gotten the information, you know, from public records, too.
Pardon?
They could have gotten the information from public records.
Right, but they didn't.
Okay.
They didn't. They're much more intimately involved than that.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not be one of the people in the family that you feel that you even know all that well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What I'm getting in my head is that it's not, at this point, one of the main characters in the story, so to speak.
Okay.
But more someone who had a quick cameo role.
Hmm.
And there's a real feeling of looking to exploit you through whatever.
Right. Yeah, that was the bottom point to the letter.
Right.
Was that they would try to exploit me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'd say don't sweat it and just kind of put it off to the side, because I don't feel a threat with it.
Good.
And again, with that is, when the person brings it up, you're going to look across, and you're going to be trying your best not to grin, because you're going to be like, dude, you are so busted.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that sounds okay. I was just wondering if it was somebody who knew me, and my name's fairly well known here from other activities, so, yeah.
Nobody that you know well. Again, it's one of those cameo performances, somebody that you've probably seen for maybe 5 or 10 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and that there is a common connection with, like, you're friends with person A, the other person is also friends with person A,
mm-hmm.
and the person who wrote the letter feels like they know you both through person A, as well as whatever they gleaned from the 5 or 10 minutes of being around you.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they've got a lot of information from person A, who considers this person a good friend,
mm-hmm.
and has really confided quite a bit in them, and that's why I don't feel like they got the information from public notices or anything like that.
Okay. Well, this is a small town in a sense, and you know, word goes around real fast, so who knows?
Yeah. The only thing I would say for you too, Debbie, mm-hmm. is that. I don't feel like your life is threatened to this one. This is more like an intimidation.
Okay. That's what I thought the whole thing was about.
Yeah. It's just something that I feel that someone just feels quite jealous around you.
Okay.
And whatever it is that you are doing, it intimidates them, and you may be interfering with something that they are thinking you're interfering with, and all you're doing is you're just doing kindness of work to help others out, so they feel threatened.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think they're looking to use you as a tool if they can.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. All righty. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Have a good evening.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. You know, it's kind of interesting. We're getting people calling. Questions are feeling kind of threatened. That's two calls.
What's going on with the stars tonight?
Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll find out when the next caller calls in. We've got compliments because we've been told just recently that on the chat room, I want to also acknowledge people in the chat rooms that are in the Pal Talk room under Between Two Worlds Radio, as well as we have the BBS Radio chat room. I'd like to acknowledge them as well. They're talking about us as you and I are talking. And they're saying that Scott and Derek are both super.
Right on. Well, thank you.
Nothing like having two mediums on the show at the same time. That's rare.
Well, you know, finding two to get along is kind of tough.
Yeah. I find the best when you work together, you get more things. I really find that's important.
Mm-hmm.
I've got another caller calling in. Who am I talking to?
Hi, my name's Michelle.
Michelle?
Yes, I'm from Nebraska.
From Nebraska? Welcome,
yes.
Michelle, from Nebraska. What can I do for you?
We've had some kind of strange things happening in our home. We've had things happen before, like different spirit presences, a couple that are here a lot. But
okay.
Starting a few weeks ago, my daughter started waking up. She's a year, just terrified and screaming. And it's taken us a long time to calm her down. This has happened frequently, like over and over and over. I had something one night when we finally took her into bed with us. I wasn't sleeping, but something like, I don't know, I felt like I was something like entered my head, so to speak, and I kept seeing like my daughter hitting me, like she was coming at me like a wild animal, and I kept seeing myself hitting her off of me. And I kept telling myself that wasn't happening, it wasn't happening. I was laying in my bed, my husband was there, my daughter was there. It took a lot out of me to try and keep, you know, reality, you know, in check. And finally I kind of asked for help to get rid of whatever it was, because at this point we kind of suspected it was a spirit. And I guess I should back up. We smudged our home the same night, and it seemed like instead of the smudging helping, it like got mad. And the next day my husband took tobacco and he smoked it, and he's like talked to the spirit while he was smoking it and shared it with them, and he asked it to leave, and it was quiet for like a night, and then it started back in with my daughter again, and we pulled her into our room and just kept her in here. Meanwhile, my one-year-old son, I have twins, he sleeps in a different room, wasn't bothered by anything, so we just kept his door open and listened. Well, after we had her in our room for a while, then it started in on him. And last weekend, well, he got really scared, and we brought both the kids into our room, and the next morning, I went into his closet, and things were just tossed all over the place in there. Like, it had just been kind of, like, ransacked and pulled off of the shelves. And so we smudged off the house again. My husband also called his uncle in Washington, and we boiled bear root. And he had us, like, take that all around the outside of the house, on the windowsills, on the ledges, around the cribs, and did that. And I haven't noticed anything since we did that, but I'm kind of worried about it still because I've never had anything come at me like that before in that way. I felt very threatened.
How old is this house?
It's new, but it's on trust land. It's on my husband's Native American.
That's why. Yeah, I bet you got the house. I bet you the house is sitting on a burial ground.
You know, it's in the middle of the city, and they used to have a basement, and there's an old cistern under our house, but I don't think... I mean, like I said, we have spirits that are here. My great-grandpa, one of his grandmas, a guy named George, who's been here since. My husband had a home here before we moved this one in, and George was here, that was his sister's friend when she was young. So George has been here a long time. But I don't think there's anything like that. And I don't know. I guess maybe. I guess it's always a possibility that someone's buried here. But
what do you think, Scott?
Well, gosh, several things. For me, I'm I feel sometimes like I'm the psychic that wears the sheriff's badge because I just it really ruffles my feathers whenever anything or anyone with or without a body overrides the free will of someone else. And for me, I do a lot of exorcisms, both of people, of houses, of these sort of things. Because for me, I believe that the ownership of your space, in my mind, should be absolute. And nothing has the God-given, if you will, free will or right to be able to bully anyone or anything else. And so, that being said, you know, part of me just wants to roll up my psychic sleeves and say, well, let's just go to work. The smudging is good, certainly. Also with the perimeter of the house, not only the root, but also sea salt around the perimeter and the doors and windows and those sort of things, also acts as a barrier. So the things that the sage pushes out can't rush back in.
So you said sea salt? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, table salt does not work much. You just be using sea salt.
Okay.
Outside of that, when I tune into what's going on, I do sense a native man. I do sense an older native man. I feel like he's got a connection to the land, but I don't necessarily feel that it's the exact land that your house is on.
Okay.
My feelings are this, too. I want to say that this is actually the territory that a medicine man had walked and probably did his medicines there. I would get someone to, like, Scott, how far are you from Nebraska?
Not far, I'm in South Dakota.
Okay, if you want Scott to come out to your place, I highly recommend it, because if Scott can do some dowsing, I bet you can find the spot where this man did ceremonies, because I got a funny feeling, if it isn't the burial ground, it's a place that was done with many ceremonies that had taken place where a lot of medicines are very powerful. And most likely there's a vortex in there where it's related to cisterns, which actually has lots of activity of water, that creates that even much stronger.
The old cistern goes right under our house.
Okay, that's probably why, because the burial ground or the ceremonial sites were probably where the house was. Or even the backyard.
Okay. And I know my husband, Vega, has a medicine man that comes down from South Dakota once in a while, and I can't think of what his name is right off the hand either.
But I do recommend to do tobacco, bring tobacco offerings.
Okay.
And now, my understanding, the way my teachings are, because of my Aboriginal background, is to bring out crow feathers and offer crow feathers to the earth, because he's a trickster.
Okay, that's what my friend Joe has said.
Okay, and the other thing that you can do as well, which is kind of a half measure to an extent, but will give you a lot of peace and security until you can get somebody down there to fully deal with it, is in the backyard to make a circle of rocks and use a lot of sweet grass and essentially make him a space inside of that circle that he is welcome.
Okay, so make a circle of rocks and use a lot of what did you say? I'm sorry.
Sweetgrass.
Sweetgrass, okay.
Yeah, sweetgrass attracts spirits.
Okay.
And use the sweetgrass in the circle of rocks and then line the circle of rocks with the sea salt when you get done. And basically that's going to remove him from your house but give him his own house on the property to at least pacify him so that your house is back to being your house until you can get somebody down there, me, a medicine man, a priest, whoever you feel most comfortable with, to get it fully taken care of.
So this is probably the same spirit that's been causing problems since we've been here, because we thought maybe it was different ones passing through.
No, I feel very strongly it's the same one. I also feel like there's a lot of Heoka energy around it.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a way to get a hold of you, Scott, then?
My website, connectwithscott.com, has got my emails, phone numbers. All the ways to get a hold of me are right there.
Okay.
And also, I used to, at one point in time, live in Valentine, Nebraska. I don't know how close to Valentine you are, but...
It's about 5 hours.
about five hours.
I live close to Sioux City, Iowa.
Oh, okay.
We're right connected to Sioux City, so...
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I've actually got a kind of a little personal note, but I've got a brother that lives in Omaha, and I've been planning a trip to go see him, hopefully within the next month or so. So we may be able to kind of piggyback one on the other. That's one thing. But again, doing the circle of rocks in the backyard is at least going to give him his own space for now, which is going to free up your house and get back that peace of mind that you need.
Okay, yes, that sounds excellent. I need to write down your website so I don't... Is your website on Derek's page, or do I have to... I don't want to think of any more time. What was your website again?
For Scott's website is connectwithscott.com. It's C-O-N-N-E-C-T, connectwithscott.com.
Thank you.
And you just get a hold of Scott. If I was in your area, I'd be going to Scott, too, and hitting up the territory.
Okay. Sounds good.
I know Scott can do good work.
Okay. All right. Thank you, you guys. I feel a lot better.
You're welcome.
Right on. You're welcome.
Yeah, okay. And while you're dealing with these issues now, I would say just to, you got some access to seagrass, just do a strong prayer and just tell them, look, it's our territory now. You need to move on. Give us peace. And let's see what happens from there. If they don't, if they do respond back to you in the same manner, then I recommend to get Scott out there, make an appointment, get him out there as soon as possible so it gets settled.
Okay. All right.
And
that's
I also
great.
Recommend if you have an elder that is in the territory of your family to have him meet Scott so Scott can learn from him whatever he needs to be guided in both ways. So you're honoring both the earth in both manners. Because sometimes when a spirit is unsettled, you may have to do some drumming to honor him before he moves on.
Scott is Sue.
Pardon?
My husband's a Yankton. Sue. So I'm assuming Scott moved from South Dakota is probably Sue.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, I can do an honor song to honor the spirit. They do that at times as well.
Okay.
And it'll settle things down.
Okay. We will do that.
Okay.
All right. Thank you for your time. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, these things do happen. I've come across territories, different areas that people have always had unsettledness of a spirit somewhere, whether it's Aboriginal or whether it's somewhere else. I mean, I had one incident that there was spirits all over this house, inside and out, and after a friend of mine went out there, was also another medium. He's crossed over now, but when he was out there, he felt that he had to... This is a brand new house that was built, and they put new sidewalk down the whole 9 yards, and he had to get the woman of the house to get a gooseneck, and he flipped the sidewalk back, cleaned it all off, and he found it actually was a tombstone.
Wow.
And so he flipped another one back, and it was also a headstone. And he flipped them all back. There's 125 headstones in the front yard.
Wow.
Somebody bought a whole bunch of, they thought, sidewalks from an auction, and actually they were headstones from an old graveyard that was cleared for put a highway through it. But they didn't want nobody to know that the headstones were there. They just said it's just walking sidewalk concrete. So, and when they got rid of the headstones, sent them away, and did ceremonies. It started quieting down some, not completely, but it did quiet down some. But that was a very unsettled area.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I've had kind of whole ranges of a lot of these different experiences. I had one family that called me in because of a haunting, and once I told them who the ghost was, all of a sudden they were like, "Oh man, that's my buddy." And an amazing thing happens once whether someone has a body or not. Once you know that you have the power to evict them, then you have the power to make rules. And so communicating through me to the ghost, they said, "Look, man, here's the deal. I loved you in life. You can stay, but the scaring the kids, the goose and the dog, the breaking the dishes, this and that, it stops today. Next time it happens, you're out of here." And the ghost said, it's just a true story. It's so cool. And the ghost said, "You know, thanks, man. I was way out of line. You straightened me out. I'm cool. And in exchange for letting me stay here, I'll protect your house." And the family went on vacation. They came back late Sunday night, whatever, to cop cars all up and down their street. They pull in front of their house, and here are these two or three, I forget, young teenage boys standing in the front door with, you know, computers, flat screen TVs, jewelry, whatever, and the cops with the spotlights and the guns drawn and whatever, and they said, "Put the stuff down." And the boys said, "I can't move. We've not been able to move for 45 minutes. As soon as we opened the door to leave, we lost the ability to move. I would put it down for you if I could." This is how we got caught. As one of the neighbors drove by, and here's these three boys standing in the front yard with all the, or in the front porch with all this loot, and called the cops because it looked funny. And as soon as the family showed up, poof, the boys were able to move, put it down, were all freaked out. And their ghost actually protected their house. But it was only after the rules were made, and the rules were only made after the person knew that they had the ability to be evicted.
See what happens? You just can't get away with crime. Even the ghost won't let you go.
There you go. You know, a watchdog is great, but a watch ghost is really cool if you can get your hands on one.
I had a lady friend who actually had a blind cat. And she, the cat was, you know, it smells everybody, you know, and like, it knows you quite well. One night, this guy broke into their house in the dark, and they're upstairs asleep, and when he broke through the window, and I guess what he was trying to steal, and as he was going out the door, the cat attacked him. And it scratched his face all to heck, and you name it, you whatever have you. And I guess the burglar was so frightened and so cut up, scratched up, that he ended up calling the police saying that the cat attacked him. He found out that the cat was blind. They pressed charges to the guy, not the owner of the cat.
Uh-huh.
But even burglars think they can get away. You got a watch cat that's blind. You know, never heard of anybody ever before, and this guy was the bad guy, and the cat somehow knew.
Right on.
You know, crime doesn't pay, even with a blind. Yeah.
Well, sometimes karma's quick.
It does, it comes around. even the field where you and I are doing, what are you doing now these days? What's your job? What are you doing these days besides just reading people? What else are you doing now, coming up?
Oh, gosh, doing all kinds of readings, and like I said, I opened up a alternative therapies clinic on Main Street here in Rapid City, South Dakota, and it is doing great, working holistically to get people healed. Still doing a lot of work with, you know, law enforcement and that sort of thing. Getting ready to head to Casper, Wyoming at the end of the month, going to headline a fair there on the 18th and 19th, and then from there off to Riverton, Wyoming, and the Wind River Indian Reservation, do some work there, and have done this trip twice a year for all 4 or 5 years, and it's just a hoot every time. And I'm actually going to be in, I think we talked about this a little bit, I'm going to be in Canada in July.
When? Where?
And I'm going to be in Montreal.
Where in Canada?
Montreal, Quebec.
Oh, Montreal? Oh,
yep.
You got to come up this way.
Well, you know, it's where the conference is.
Oh, Vancouver.
The website for website is www.iiihs.com. It's their 33rd annual conference. They're put on in affiliation with the United Nations.
Yeah.
And their keynote speakers of the past include the Pope and the Dalai Lama and the folks from The Secret and What the Bleep and just a great group of folks. And a real honor to be asked to be part of their events. So, yeah, I'm going to be up in Canada in July for that. That's going to be fun.
This Everybody is a big, huge event, guys. I know this is what this one's all about. In fact, I was talking to Scott about it. And it's been going on for, what, how many, 23 years or so?
I think this is the 33rd annual.
33rd. Yeah, 33rd year. Yeah, 33 years. So it's something that it's open into it's open to everything spiritual and a variety of all kinds of things. So if you guys ever want to make up to Montreal, there's a good place to check it out and check up the website. It's, you know, like at www.iihs.com. These guys.
Three eyes.
Three eyes. Okay. I. like you're like a sea captain here.
So yeah, we're going to have to get you in there as a speaker, Derek.
Sound like a sea captain there. I.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, we'll have to get you in the event as a speaker next year.
You want me being speaker?
Yeah, I'll drop your name.
Okay, drop me. Go for it. Something else I was going to ask you about. What is your most latest paranormal investigation?
Oh, latest. Gosh. Let's see.
The most exciting one you have done lately.
You know, there was a really cool one I was doing. I was a keynote speaker at a paranormal conference in Wisconsin. And they, you know, just really, we hit things off there with the folks in the conference. And they said, you know, tomorrow we're doing an investigation at this house. Do you want to go? And I said, well, yeah, I'm in town. What the heck? Well, they didn't tell me the town was 70, 80 miles away, whatever, from wherever we were. And showed up there that day, and it was around Halloween. And so they were doing a live radio remote from this house, this haunted house. And they said, well, Scott, you've got about 15, 20 minutes. Go through the house, pick up whatever you can, and come back here, and we're going to have you on the radio and talk about it. I'm like, oh, okay, let's go. You know, so I'm cruising around the basement, found a secret passage that led out to a carriage house or garage. And I'm down in the secret passage, and I meet this little 8-year-old boy, little black kid, and I said, you know, how you doing? You know, we're talking, and he tells me that he was a runaway slave. And I said, you're in Wisconsin. Are you lost? And he's telling me about the Underground Railroad and all this stuff, and telling me about his journey. He said that he had to wait out in the backyard next to the river for them to put the candle behind a different color of the stained glass, because that's kind of like red light, green light.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Run into the house or not. And he said that he had to wait for like 3 days by this tree in the backyard next to the river for the light to change so that he could have safe passage to come in the house. And so I go downstairs and or come up from the basement, and I look at the back door, and there's no stained glass. I look out the backyard. There's no river.
Okay.
And here they are on the radio saying, okay, Scott, what'd you find? And I'm going, oh, gosh. I can only tell you what I've seen, and, you know, whether you laugh me off the air or not, this is what I saw was this little 8-year-old black boy in the basement and told the story and just kind of waited for the laughter to ensue because I was in the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin, a little town called Fond du Lac that I'd never heard of. And
name.
Anyway, the owner of the house got on the radio and said, well, I can confirm everything that Scott said. As many of you know, the famous Octagon House was built by our original mayor as a stopway for the Underground Railroad. And those who are familiar with the house know that 23 years ago, we moved the stained glass door from the backyard to from the back door to the front door because we had so many people, so many tourists, coming in and walking through the yard in order to get to the backyard to see this door. So we put it on the front so they could see it easier.
Oh.
And you old timers will be familiar with the earthquake that happened 36 years ago that changed the course of the river, and it's now 3 miles that way, and you can't even see it from the house anymore.
So everything's all the way it's supposed to be.
It was all as he said it was. And, you know, just an incredible investigation. And got to, you know, got a lot of EVPs, a lot of light, sound, all kinds of stuff. In fact, you can go to the Ghost Hunters website is www.swprg.com. This is an acronym for the Southern Wisconsin Paranormal Investigation Group. And click on the Octagon House, but at one point they set up all their cameras in the basement where this little boy was, and I asked him to come over and give me a high five. And the instant he gave me a high five, I looked over at the investigators and I said, "Did you get that?" And they played it back, and sure enough, at the exact moment that kid came over and gave me a high five, they clocked, and you can see the video of it, but about an 8-inch sphere ball of energy go from behind the stairs right over to my hand, and they clocked it at 90 miles an hour.
Wow.
Yeah, good stuff.
Excellent. Well, Scott, I hate to say this, but our show is done.
Time flies, doesn't it?
Flies, we're having fun. Yeah, we're getting coming. I'd like to really thank you for coming on the show. I'm going to definitely get you back here again because we're having fun here.
Oh, you bet.
It's been a pleasure having you.
We work really well together.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, definitely. Like, you know, we're going to have to chat more often and do this for the people out there because a lot of people don't know what's going on half the time of new kinds of crazy things that us mediums do. You know?
Sure, sure. Well, certainly thank you for having me on the show and to all your listeners for sharing an hour with us.
Guys, if you want to get
hope you have too.
Do readings for you, give them a call. It's connectwithscott.com, and if you want to get a hold of me or readings from me, I'm in this territory. It's whitescottcloud.com. It's been a pleasure, Scott.
Likewise.
Okay, so I'll talk to you sometime in the future. Guys, this is Derek Whitescottcloud, and you're listening to Between Two Worlds, and I'm your favorite psychic medium. I call it a favorite. You're actually having a great time here. Psychic medium paranormal investigator, and looking forward to see you guys next week, talking next week. Take care, guys. Be safe out there. Bye.
Bye.
I don't. You there, Scott?